Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, or in the year 42 AH, that is 2 years after the martyrdom of his grandfather, he was named Ali, and to be more precise, he carried the epithet Akbar, along with his name, which means he was the eldest son of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the martyr of Karbala. The most significant fact about Ali Akbar is that he was a carbon copy of his great-grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This fact proves that the bestial Yazidi hordes were not Muslims despite their claim, or else they would not have dared to gang up against Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, who, while sending him to the battlefield, had remarked, "O Allah, be witness, now I'm sending in your way the one who resembled your messenger the most, to the extent that whenever we desire to have a view of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we used to look at the face of this youth." Thus, Ali Akbar was in the prime of his youth in the epic day of Ashura, that is 10th of Muharram in the year 61 AH, in Karbala, where he chose to drink the elixir of martyrdom as he marched into the battlefield in the state of acute thirst against numerically superior foes by reciting the following verses. "I am Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali. By the house of Allah, we are the Prophet's nearest kin. I will keep attacking you with my lance till you mow me down. I will strike you with my sword that was bestowed on me by my father. With the strokes of a Hashemite youth, by Allah, the son of adultery shall not rule over us." Today, on the 11th of Sha'ban, we convey our heartiest congratulations to the Imam of the Age, Mahdi al-Qa'im. May God hasten his reappearance to usher in the global government of peace and justice. Here we present a passage of the Ziyarat al-Nahiyat al-Muqaddaseh for the Martyrs of Karbala, as narrated by the Imam of the Age, that refers to the martyrdom of his great-grand-uncle, Ali Akbar, peace be upon him. "Peace upon you, O first of the martyrs from among the scions of the noblest descendants of Prophet Abraham, the friend of Allah. May Allah bless you and your father, who at your death lamented, 'O my son, what made them so bold against the merciful Allah as to commit such sacrilege against the Prophet?' May Allah perish the people who slew you. After you, the world is worthless."
Insights into the Holy Qur'an.
Indeed, this Qur'an guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful. who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. Dear listeners, now let's listen to 176th up to 180th verses of this chapter.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
كذب أصحاب الأيكة المرسلين.
The companions of the thicket denied the messengers.
إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ.
When Shu'aib said to them, "Will you not fear Allah?"
إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ.
Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ.
So fear Allah and obey me.
وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
And I do not ask you for it any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds.
كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So, the dwellers of the forest belied the messengers. When Shu'aib said to them, "Will you not fear Allah? Verily I am unto you a trustworthy messenger. Then be in awe of Allah and obey me, and I do not ask you any recompense for it. My recompense is only from the Lord of the worlds." As we started the discussion over this 10th section of the chapter, in which the 7th story of the stories of the Prophet is mentioned, we said that Ashabul Ayka are the people of forest, the dwellers of the forest, who are the people of Shu'aib. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ شُعَيْبُ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. When their Prophet Shu'aib said to them, "Will you not fear Allah?" And then he alayhi salam added, "Inni lakum rasulun amin." Verily, I am unto you a trustworthy messenger. So this Shu'aib was not known to them, to these people, like the other prophets were known to their people. In those cases, we had the word akhuhum, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَخُوهُمْ هُودٌ and the others. But in this case, we did not have أَخُوهُمْ شُعَيْبٌ. This could be for the reason that Shu'aib was originally from Madian, as we explained, and he was only relative, and he had some relatives only with the people of that place, not with these people who were Ashabul Ayka, not with these dwellers of the forest. So he had a state of anonymity among this group of people, so he could not be known as one of their brothers.
مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So at first, this prophet introduces himself. Inni lakum rasulun amin. I am unto you a trustworthy messenger. At first, he introduces himself as one messenger of the Almighty Allah. He tries to connect the people to the Almighty Allah. You have to believe in the Almighty Allah and then the state of monotheism. You have to believe in one God and prophethood. If He is your Lord, He is the one who has to send you the prophets. You have to follow the prophets. And I am unto you a trustworthy messenger. Inni lakum rasulun amin. A trustworthy messenger. I'm not any kind of messenger who claims to be a messenger from the side of the Almighty Allah. I am trustworthy and you know me. Although I'm not your brother, I haven't lived among you, but you all know me and I am unto you a trustworthy messenger. So since I am from the side of your Lord, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاتِعُونَ, then be in awe of Allah and obey me. This is the command of your Lord. You have to be in awe of Allah. And since I am a messenger from your Lord, you have to obey me. So obeying me is not obeying my orders. You are obeying the Almighty Allah. Okay? So in the end, he says, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I do not ask you any recompense for it. My recompense is only from the Lord of the worlds. If you are worried about issues like money, I'm not asking you anything for it. I am only here to guide you. I am a messenger from the Almighty Allah. He is the one who cares about the people, who His creatures are, and what they are doing in the world. So that's why He sends you prophets. وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. And he sends you prophets without asking any recompense. In أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I ask my recompense only from the Lord of the worlds. Now, these three sentences were the same as, and in the form of well-calculated sentences, which other prophets announced at the beginnings of their calls. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun rahimun mannanun kareemun salamun aleemun majaa ilaha illahum ghaffarun jameelun wahhabun latifun t-
تواب سميع بصير
لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن
لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be asking an interesting question. This question is about the gates of paradise. You know, the fact and the idea that, you know, paradise has doors or gates is a Quranic concept. It's been mentioned in the Holy Quran. For example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "Gardens of Eden, whose gates are flung open for them." Right? So there is, this is a true one of the characteristics of heaven. There are gates of heaven, not just one gate. Rather, there is many gates. The question we want to ask today is, what are these gates, these different gates? How many are there? And what is their significance? What are they a reference to? In one hadith, fortunately, we have the answer to this question. Imam Ali alayhi salam has been transmitted and reported to have said, "Paradise has 8 doors, a door through which the prophets and the truthful ones will enter." So paradise has 8 doors. We have, you know, acquired the answer to one of our questions. One of these doors is a door through which the prophets and the truthful ones will enter. An-Nabiyyun was-Siddiqun. A door through which the martyrs and the righteous will enter. The Shuhada was-Salihun. You know, these are groups of believers. These groups have been referenced in the Holy Quran. The Nabiyyin, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin, right? And these have been, these people have been mentioned as those who are on the right path, or those who have been blessed by God, who we ask every day in our prayers for Allah to join us with them. And finally, the Imam said, a door through which the rest of the Muslims will enter. That is, those who bear witness to there is no God but Allah. This is an interesting hadith. If this hadith is true, then it means that there is a place in heaven for those Muslims who are not followers of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt in particular. Perhaps it's a reference to the fact that as long as there's no enmity on their part with the Ahlul Bayt, then it's sufficient for, they admire the Ahlul Bayt, but perhaps in particular they're not followers of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt. They can, in fact, enter paradise. Of course, it might be through the forgiveness of Allah. They might be people who were unaware of, the school of the thought of the Ahlul Bayt, for whatever reason. In any case, this is something that should be tackled and discussed in relevant books of theology and, you know, Kalam. We don't want to pass any judgment regarding this subject here. In continuation, the Imam said, and who do not bear an atom's weight of enmity towards us, the Ahlul Bayt, again, here. So this reinforces what we just said. Of course, as you know, there is a consensus of opinion amongst our, you know, our ulama and our great scholars that the people who are enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, you know, they will not smell the fragrance of paradise and will not enter paradise. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at what the doors of paradise are and what they signify. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Palestinian flag, independence, and resistance.
Part 1.
The men and women of Gaza are busy piecing their lives back together, attempting bravely to cope with extensive loss of life and displacement. And thousands of innocent children suffer deep trauma every day since having their families, friends, homes, hospitals, schools, etc., deliberately, intentionally bombed by Israel with its military. The story of the suffering they experienced and continue to experience is told in the looks on their faces, full of sadness and despair. Especially whenever they recall the 50 days of war they witnessed and survived in 2014. At the end of that war, the number of martyrs killed on the Palestinian side reached nearly 2,500, including 500 young children. The number of the wounded amassed to 12,000, of whom 3,300 were young children. Every child of Palestine now carries with them memories of explosions, of screams of horror, of seeing dismembered and burnt bodies, of the smell of death brought down on them by the inhumane, unconscionable actions of Israel in its efforts to oppress its occupied territory. A tank massacre here, an airstrike massacre there, is all justified by Israeli politicians and condoned by Western governments that protect these Israeli war criminals from ever facing justice in court.
This is the first time I've entered the school since the incident. It's painful and depressing for me. Inside the school, I felt my brother's presence, as if he was calling my name. He was martyred here. I also got a sense that my mother wanted me to pray for him here. The feeling is of utter sadness and grief.
Hussein and Ibrahim are standing on the ruins of the house overlooking the school in the northern Gaza Strip town of Beit Hanun. This school belongs to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees. UNRWA is a UN organization. They recall back to the second day of the month of August 2014.
We are staying at the house of the late Shabab Ahmed al-Shinbari. Here there are 25 family members all living in a three-floor house, 150 square meters. The Israeli occupation forces targeted this house during its 2014 military aggression on the population of Gaza. We were evacuated quickly and headed to the UNRWA school in Beit Hanun shortly before our house was bombarded.
It was midnight when they blew a hole in our house with a tank shell about where we are sitting. We escaped to my uncle's second house. but they dropped gas bombs there. My aunt said we should prepare ourselves to go in different directions in the morning. We went to my aunt's house in Al-Gharman Street, but the Jews entered and demanded us to leave. Finally, we went to the Western school at Beit Hanun.
We moved from our home on the first day of the ground incursion mounted by Israeli forces. We went to Beit Hanun Co-ed School A and D blocks. A municipal vehicle arrived on Thursday to transport us to another school because children at Beit Hanun had been hit by shrapnel. There was a bombardment near the school where we were sheltering.
We have informed the IDF, nearly 32 times about the school, its a place, who were in that school, what they are doing, and, everything, that it is should be a safe place, that you have the UN flags and the GPS had been sent to the Israeli side. The real information, in real time, we were sending them every day about everything.
Officials at the UNRWA relief agency in Gaza believed Israeli army assurances regarding the guaranteed safety of their accommodation centers, accordingly informing the displaced people that a school in Beit Hanun, which was sheltering hundreds of Palestinian refugees, was a safe zone. Like blood to a vampire, however, this gathering of displaced families incited the appetite of the Israeli occupation army for killing, which found easy prey. They informed the UNRWA Relief Agency and International Red Cross to evacuate the school of the displaced. The people gathered in the school yard and waited for the arrival of buses to take them somewhere safe, all of them a clear and easy target for slaughter. The Israelis rounded them up and killed 16 of them where they stood, mostly children, and wounded more than 55 others.
The Red Cross came 2 days earlier. There were 3 Red Cross vehicles and 10 Red Crescent vehicles. They announced that they came to transport the most serious cases, such as those with disabilities, the elderly, and the injured, mostly shrapnel injuries. As they took people away, we asked them what was going on, and if they thought the school was safe. They confirmed it was safe and that there was nothing to fear. We trusted that information. The UN and the Red Cross came 2 days later with buses to move more of us to the Jabalia refuge camp. People gathered in together and we all went downstairs.
My aunt was collecting laundry and about to sit and rest when the shells pounded us. Shrapnel sliced open my stomach and my intestines fell to the ground. My brother found me lying underneath my siblings. He moved me outside and on foot he took me to the Kamal Odwan Hospital. They urgently referred me to Ash-Shifa Hospital, where I went under surgery. 10 centimeters of my intestines were cut off. Now every time I eat and when I drink water, my stomach hurts.
Five of my family were martyred, praise be to Allah. 16 other people were injured, including Manar, who lost both her legs, Ibrahim, whose intestine were reconnected, and my brother Mahmoud, who had his arteries severed.
What happened in that school, it was a real catastrophe, actually. We have tens of people that had been killed and injured in that school. The Board of Inquiry investigated what happened in Beit Hanun school. It is a message, that here in the Gaza Strip that there is no safe place, even in a school, on the street, at your shelter, to your home, everywhere. No safe place at that time.
We don't want to stay here at the school. They forced us to come here. We don't want to be here at the school. They are all liars.
People of the world find it impossible to believe that anyone, even a Zionist occupation force, would have the audacity to bomb the accommodation centers of the United Nations. The Israeli army had orders to kill anything that moved, and this policy was exercised throughout Gaza in their ground incursion. On the 16th of July, 2014,
8 children from the Bakr family went to play on the beach of Gaza. They were kicking around a soccer ball when from Israeli military ships in the sea, missiles fired on the beach, specifically targeting the children playing.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
In our religious calendar, beginning with Rajab and Sha'ban, moving towards the month of Ramadan, one of the recommendations which are there for the month of Sha'ban is something which is known as As-Salawat al-Sha'baniyyah. And this comes from our fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says that it is recommended during the month of Sha'ban, during the midday time, which is connected to the Zuhr time, you know, it is recommended to recite this Salawat al-Sha'baniyyah. And especially, he says, on the eve of the 15th of Sha'ban. This is there in Mafatih al-Jinan, if you are looking for where do you go, or even online, it is available very easily to read that. And basically, it consists of two parts. In the first part, there are five short passages, beginning with salawat, and then the praise of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. The latter part actually is what we would say dua, where we are asking for something. And that is where the sixth, salawat starts with. And overall, there are six salawat and 12 praises of the Ahlul Bayt in this dua from the fourth Imam. Of course, I can't go through the entire Salawat Sha'baniyyah in a Friday khutbah setting, but I wanted to at least, introduce this as a reminder for myself and many others that, we still have this month, and try to maximize the ma'rifat and the knowledge that we would have of the Ahlul Bayt through the words of the fourth Imam, as well as seek the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua which is there in the Salawat Sha'baniyyah. Let me just talk about two themes from the dua segment of the Salawat Sha'baniyyah. The first is very interesting. After the Salawat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, the Imam is teaching us to pray. وَعْمُرْ قَلْبِ بِطَاعَتِكَ وَلَا تُخْضِنِي بِمَعْصِيَتِكَ. The literal translation would be that وَعْمُرْ from عُمُرْ, life. He says, make my heart live with obedience to you. Let my life be in your obedience. But then the word is وَعْمُرْ قَلْبِ. Make my heart live or live with obedience to you. In a sense, we are getting this, concept, which is part of the Islamic literature, that we have our heart on the left side. And we're very worried about it. We take care of it. All the medications and everything is there, but we have to remember there is a spiritual heart also, which does not necessarily reside here. You know, and that is also an important issue to keep in mind. And that's this spiritual qalb, heart also can go through health and sickness. And this is where when Imam says, wa'amur qalbi, you know, make my heart, you know, live with your obedience. And this is where we get the concept that, you know, there could be this idea of the heart being spiritually healthy or spiritually sick. The Quran actually also talks about it very interestingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in more than one verse. You know, you'll see the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. You know, these are the people in their hearts there is marav, illness, you know, disease. He's not referring to a physical, you know, illness that you go to the doctor for it. He actually relates, wherever he talks about it, most of the places, he would relate it with the issue of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy and nifaq in iman. That people, you know, might be saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, but in their heart they do not really have that belief in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the risalat of Rasul. And so basically the spiritual heart, which is, you know, healthy, is the one which is iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the spiritually sick heart is the one which is inflicted with nifaq and hypocrisy. But how do we know that? Do we have a rapid test for it? You know, like we have for the corona? Actually, there is. You know, the Prophet actually talks about what we call the litmus test for iman and nifaq. There is a narration by prominent, you know, Sunni and Shia scholars. And there is no doubt about this statement, where the Prophet once, talking to Ali, puts his hand on the shoulder of Ali and he says, O Ali, لا يحبك إلا مؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا منافق. Nobody loves you but someone who is a mu'min, who has iman. And nobody hates you but that he has nifaq and hypocrisy. And it's interesting that, you know, the Prophet of Islam connected this love for Ali with iman, not with Islam. You see, when you look at Islam, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of Islam is kufr. When you look at iman, the opposite of iman is nifaq. Islam is a matter of tongue. Whoever says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, we don't have a choice but to accept that person as a Muslim. Whether he is a mu'min or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better. But the Prophet says, one of the signs to know whether this person is a mu'min or is a munafiq is to see what is his attitude towards Ali bin Abi Talib. If he has this love for Ali, that would be an indication that there is iman, you know, in his heart. So Islam is the issue of tongue, whereas iman is a matter of heart. And when we talk about the health of a spiritual heart, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen becomes the standard for us. And that is why Ali is always known as Amir al-Mu'mineen, not Amir al-Muslimin. You can have Khalifat al-Muslimin. But when it comes to Amir of Mu'mineen is only Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. This has been quoted by Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Ibn Majah and many, many others besides our own sources. Not only that, this standard given by, you know, rapid test given by Rasulullah to the Sahaba to identify who is a munafiq was actually practically used during his days by the companions of the Prophet. Especially those who were from Ansar, the people in Medina. You have names like Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari, very prominent. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, also a very prominent Sahabi. And both of them actually have narrated that مَا كُنَّ نَعْرِفُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. You know, we had no way of identifying those who were hypocrites among us إِلَّا بِبُغْضِهِمْ عَلِيًّا. Once we realize he has this hatred towards Ali, we knew that he's a munafiq. And this is where we had to realize, you know, that in this dua, it's interesting that Imam is talking about the spiritual health of the heart, and the heart would be, in a way, healthy with the Iman in Allah, Rasul, and Ali, and the Imams who have come from Ali Ali. And therefore, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية علي بن أبي طالب. And may he always keep on that path till the end, inshallah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Ali. حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to the listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Within the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the character of Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, mainly known as Ali al-Akbar, the son of Imam al-Husayn. According to some documents, he was the oldest son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ashbahun Nas bin Nabi, among the most outstanding people who resemble Prophet Muhammad both in action, deed, and face. This is what Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam has said, that whenever I wanted to be reminded about Prophet Muhammad, I looked at Ali al-Akbar. He was martyred on the day of Ashura, and today is the birthday anniversary of Ali al-Akbar. Also in the Islamic calendar, it is known as the Day of Youth, or the young people, according to the Islamic calendar. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life and the biography of Hazrat Ali al-Akbar and his status in Islam.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wassalam is son of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam, who was martyred on the day of Ashura in Karbala. But regarding the personality and the characteristics of Hazrat Ali Akbar, there are lots of things that could be mentioned. Some of them can be mentioned here, that we can refer to some of the Islamic sources in which it is mentioned that Ali Akbar was the most similar person to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The appearance of, we can say the physique of Ali Akbar was very much like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a way that when the Ahlul Bayt wanted to, for example, remind or remember the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went to Ali Akbar and just talked to him and watch him, because he was very much similar to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also his fada'il, his moral virtues, were also like the Prophet. The way he spoke, the way he was speaking with the people, it was also very much similar to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, whenever he saw Ali Akbar, it was very much pleasant. It was very much, let's say, enjoyable for him, sitting with Ali Akbar, speaking with Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam, because it reminded him of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why even some of the Sunnis or Shia scholars, they were of the view that Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam was such a great, had such a great personality or characteristics, that he could be a ruler for the whole Muslim Ummah.
Okay.
Such a characteristic, such a character he had. And that is why in Ziyarat, or Ziyara of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam, or Ziyara of Ali Akbar alayhi salam, the sayings or the way that salam is given to these, let's say, son of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, they are really nice, really meaningful, and it shows the, let's say, the highest level of, let's say, character of Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam in the eyes of Muslims. And of course, when it comes to the day of Ashura, in that day, so Abul Fazl Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam actually was the, we can say, the bravest soldiers among the people who were protecting Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Though he was son of Imam, though he was young, but of course he sacrificed himself for the sake of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And his understanding, his perception from the status of Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam, from the situation at that time. You know, the point is that Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam at that time was not, unfortunately, was not supported by many, we can say, great figures at that time. You know, because when Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam called on the great personalities at that time, unfortunately, they misunderstood the situation. That's why they did not support Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam. But when it comes to Ali Akbar alayhi wasalam, even he was young, but he understood his knowledge, his perception. Nowadays, we understand that how important it was to support Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam at that time.
That's right.
How important it was to sacrifice yourself for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it seems that in terms of knowledge, in terms of, let's say, divine sort of perception that Abul Fazl, that Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam had about Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, about the principle of imamah, about the role of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and about the history of Islam, and about that what is going to happen to the Muslims, and who is Yazid, and why should we fight against this. You know, these are the things. At that time, it was so much complicated. It was not that much simple and easy, because, you know, later we see that Tawabin, or, for example, Mukhtar al-Saqafi, and then Abu Muslim al-Khurasani, or the other people, they raised actually against the Amawids, let's say, doctrines and teachings after these events that happened.
Yes.
But you see that the people like Ali Akbar at that time, they understood. They understood who Yazid is.
Okay.
And what is the character of Yazid. And
even
and
again, the letter of amnesty was given to Ali Akbar too on the day of Ashura. But the sentence is that, إِنَّ قَرَابَةَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ أَن تُرْأَى, that we can say my kinship or the relationship with Rasulullah is very much better and preferred to any other relation with anybody else. And he was martyred. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen Nawi, they say that when he was sent to the battlefield, at the first look, some of the members of the army thought that they are fighting Rasulullah. Say, wow, look, somebody like Rasulullah is coming to the battlefield. So much resemblance between, as Shaykh said, between the physique and the face of Prophet Muhammad and Hazrat Ali al-Akbar. What other information can you give us about this outstanding man of Islam, Hazrat Ali Akbar?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, that is true, because when Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was about to send Hazrat Ali Akbar to the battlefield, he loudly has said that, O Allah, be witness that ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi Rasulillah, that he is the most similar person amongst the people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, khalqan, like in his creation, his body phase or physique, his appearance, khulqan, in the manners, in the way of actions, and mantiqan, the way, like the seerah, we can say. So he was so much similar to the Prophet, and it is also narrated in the history that when people used to go for Hajj or Umrah, they used to go to the door of Imam Hussein because they have heard that he has one son who is similar to the Prophet.
Wow.
And when they used to knock the door of Imam Hussein, when he used to come out and ask them, what do you need? They used to say, we want to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah. Please send your son we can see him. Okay. So he was so famous as this. And as rightly mentioned by the dear guest as well, that Muawiyah, when he was asked that, what do you think? He asked his, you know, the people in the palace that, what do you think? Who is the most rightly person for this caliphate?
Yes.
Or the Muslim Ummah to rule? Someone said like you, some said like Yazid, some said different things. And he said, I think this is Ali Akbar, the son of Hussein, because he is khalqan, khulqan, wa mantiqan. Yes.
Oh.
It is the wording of Yazid that he said, because I think he is the most resemblance, like he has the most resemblance to the Prophet, and his action and deeds, the way we have heard, his way of talking is like Prophet. So, you know, the enemies do accept these fada'il, we can say. But obviously, the love of this word, you know, it made them blind. On the other hand, when we look at Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam himself, he was most brave person. You know, it is also narrated when Imam Hussein was traveling from Makkah to Karbala.
Yes.
On the way, there was a place after the Fajr prayer. He slept for a while. And after that, when he woke up, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These wordings were on the tongue of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And everyone, you know, they become curious why Imam has said so.
Yes.
So Hazrat Ali Akbar, he stepped forward and he asked his father that, Father, why you said so? And Imam Hussein has replied that, I have just seen someone calling that this caravan is going towards the death.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazrat Ali Akbar has said that, so what's the big deal about this? So Imam said, what do you think about the death? He said, it is, you know, if we are on the right path, then no matter whether we go towards the death or death comes towards us.
That's right.
So this shows the bravery, the concept of death. And, you know, when you are firm about your goal, your achievement, and when you know that you're on the right path, then no matter, you know, what happens on the way. We have many people in the history, you know, they sacrifice their life for their aim, you know, when they know that they're stepping towards the right thing, then it doesn't matter.
Yes.
The main thing is the goal should be achieved. And this was the bravery of Hazrat Ali Akbar. Even, you know, when it was the time in the land of Karbala, Imam Hussein, when he wanted some water, you know, obviously after second Muharram, they stopped the water over the caravan. So he sent a couple of times people like, or his soldiers to get some water. There are many times when Imam Hussein has sent Ali Akbar with 30 men to bring the water, and he was successful to do that.
Yes.
And that's why, obviously, he was one of the great, we can say, soldiers, commanders of Imam Hussein. And on the other hand, it is said that he was the first martyr.
Yeah, you have to say, was a martyr.
The first martyr of Banu Hashim.
They said before getting to the battlefield, the combatants used to go to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and ask for permission.
Yes.
And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam used to, for example, wait for some minutes time. But when Ali al-Akbar went to him, it was as fast as possible, okay?
Yes.
He gave them the permission. And according to a famous Persian poem, that اول ز جوان خود گذشتن مصداق عدالت حسین است, that giving the fast permission to Ali al-Akbar as his son to go to the battlefield is the best epitome for the justice of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Obviously, you know, when you send your son first amongst the Banu Hashim, the other will not think that, okay, he's saving his family, for
he's saving
example.
His family,
you know, sometimes,
first.
You know,
right.
The enemies, they do propaganda.
Yeah.
It's not the matter that he's saving. Maybe, you know, others don't allow him to do that. But he never...
He has his favorites for Shahada.
Yes. Okay.
That's
he
right.
sent okay. his own son to show that, look, this is my dearest one, which I'm sending for this cause, and this cause is more important because saving Islam, the you know the hardship which was done by 124,000 prophets.
That's right.
You know, they brought this Islam, and the final version of this religion by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala message was Islam okay. itself by the prophet. So in order to save it, even if I have to sacrifice my, you know, son Ali Akbar, or maybe, you know, the smallest son, Ali Asghar.
Yes, okay.
So Imam Hussein never declined such sacrifice.
That's right. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, this day, as we said, is the day of the youth in the Islamic calendar, how a young, we can say, man should be like Ali al-Akbar in today's life. What lessons can we take from the personality of Hazrat Ali al-Akbar as a young man?
Yes, I think it is important to know that Ali Akbar, alayhi salatu wassalam, there is a kind of resemblance or similarity between Ismail, mm-hmm. the Prophet Ismail, and Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam. When Hazrat Ibrahim decided to sacrifice Ismail for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though Ismail was young,
okay.
he accepted.
Okay.
He was satisfied. He yes. said that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you, mm-hmm. now you can fulfill. I'm ready. You know, when it comes to Karbala, we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, it was Ali Akbar who asked permission mm-hmm. from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, that, oh, my father, please let me to sacrifice myself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam permitted him. In a narration, it is mentioned from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, it is a very kind of sad sort of narration. Imam Sadiq says, a person asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam that, what is the most sad kind of experience mm-hmm. or situation for
a moment for a man?
Yeah, a very sad moment for a man, or a very tragic kind of moment for a man. Imam Sadiq says, the most sad or tragic kind of moment for a man is the moment that he is, as a father, he raised up or he brought up his child, mm-hmm. his young man.
Okay.
And the, his son is just raised up in front of him. Slowly, gradually, he is seen the, let's say, bringing up the child. And then when he become a young man, this young man be sacrificed in front of his father. Okay. And that moment is the most, or you can say the saddest moment for a father. We see this sort of things that happened in the day of Ashura, because when Ali Akbar was martyred, Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was not able to move the body of Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam, and asked the other youth to take his body.
Yes.
So that, you know, when it comes to the personality of Ali Akbar alayhi salatu wasalam, you see that he was ready as a son of Imam to sacrifice himself for this, for the Islam,
yes.
for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Muslims, to save Muslims mm-hmm. from being misguided by the mis kind of understanding or reading of Islam. So that is why, this is the reason that I think that this day is named as a day for youth, yeah?
Yes. Yes, his birthday is the birthday of youth. That's
on the birthday anniversary of Ali Akbar. And it was really the most true kind of thing that is decided nominate this day as the day of youth.
Okay, Said Musa, anything missed about Hazrat Ali al-Akbar?
Well, obviously, when we name a day on Ali Akbar, alayhi salam, that is the day of youth, it means that we need to take lessons that at the, you know, at the time when a person is young mm-hmm. and he has all his, you know, ambitions and, you know, energies and all those, when it is the time to sacrifice yourself for the Islam, you must be ready.
Okay.
And this is how the name of youth, you know, the day of youth is on Hazrat Ali Akbar, that he was at the peak of his, you know, we can say like, you know, being age or energetic. And in that time even, he did not vent towards the lust or, you know, this material world, or maybe he can, you know, even, you know, the peace treaty was given. The amnesty was given to him even.
Yes.
And he refused it at that time. You know, by saying that I love the relation, having the relation to the Prophet more than to the others. So this shows us that even our youth today, they should know where they stand, what is their duty.
Yes.
You know, because it's not only about sacrificing, it's about knowing your position.
Yes.
Ali Akbar alayhi salam, well known, like he truly knew that where he stands.
Yes.
What is his role in that society at that specific time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you today, if they want to be successful in their life, in this worldly life and in hereafter, they must know their role, they must know their position, where That's they right. stand. And if there is a need, what kind of need they can provide to the Islam for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. The murderers of Hazrat Ali al-Akbar has been cursed by Imam al-Mahdi in Ziyarah Nahiyat al-Muqaddasah. This has been said in the different ziyaras. We read out the Salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala Ashab al-Husayn. The name of Ali ibn al-Husayn comes rightly after Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. These all show the great status of Hazrat Ali al-Akbar. I really again invite our dear listeners to refer to the Islamic resources to know more about these Islamic characters who sacrificed their life for the cause of Islam, for acts